today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
A great day over the weekend in Florida. Oh, my God. The first car carrier I saw. Let me describe how I feel when I see the first car carrier of the season. It means that they, the locusts, the feeders, the migrators that come down here and exploit all of our natural resources. They are leaving. You've been a tremendous help to the show today. I'm very proud of you. Fantastic. That is, you see how he reacts to compliments,
this is
ladies and gentlemen?
Positive criticism.
Yeah, very
not
positive.
Not criticism at all.
Does it make you comfortable when I praise you?
It makes me happy.
So at the end, I want to you know, gauge your response to how sensitive I was during this. Let's see. And so it ends. We have our little exchange after our phone conversation. Rob sends out a text. Thanks, guys. I love you. And I said, love you too, asshole. I don't know if that was
all that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Well, lonely. I'm not lonely. I've got you, Pony.
That's right.
What more could you need? Dropping like flies on the Mike O'Mara Show. It is such a weird time. I don't know. I'll look back on this time as being very odd, very, very strange. But so what, about 7:43 or whatever, we got word that our boy Oscar has come down with something that I guess his mom... Was that Shannon who was texting you and I? Is that who that was?
Yeah, that was Shannon this morning saying that Oscar was throwing up and had something that he thinks his mom had.
All right, I really truly believe that perhaps the world is ending. I think it is. I think it's just a very strange world that we live in. But, you know, Oscar and... apparently his mom had something over the weekend. He caught it. And so about 2:00 in the morning, he was sick to his stomach. And, you know, normally it would be a no problem at all thing. It's just weird with Rob out as well. I'd like to reassure the audience that I am not losing everyone who has worked with me over the years. And I've got my man Pony here, which is really where Pony's always wanted to be. This is probably where you've always... although your light is screwed up. And is Shannon at the office or is she tending to Oscar?
So everyone is gone. There's nobody here. Literally no one in this building.
Your shot is a little dark, but that's okay. Maybe somebody can come in later and fix that. So, here we are. And this was a day that... you don't get many days in this business where everybody is talking about the exact same thing. I will take you through my evening. I tuned in. I haven't tuned into award shows for a long time based on their deterioration. And with the blow up of the Golden Globes, which was the only one I really enjoyed, and I only enjoyed it when Ricky Gervais was hosting because celebrities were being taken down a peg, that went away. And then these award shows have declined in ratings. They've declined in popularity. People have not paid much attention to them. But because I liked one particular movie, and I'm very proud that that movie ended up winning Best Picture, Coda, that piqued my curiosity. I wanted to see if the supporting actor win went to the actor that I hoped it would. And I wish I remembered his name. I forgot his name now. But the first, I think, deaf actor to win an Oscar. So I was really excited about that part, and that's why I tuned in. However, I should say this, that once I tuned in, I immediately knew it was a hack presentation, and it just was not my cup of tea. So I want to say that I gave it about probably a half an hour where I was watching and then just said, this is just too much. It's the same stuff. You know, they're supposed to what? Give away a bunch of Oscars in the first hour now when we're not watching it. And then that's going to streamline it. But it seemed like we still got, you know, best sound design for a foreign film. And it just,
all the
it was a
stuff.
Land of suck. Did you burn yourself at all with watching it last night? Or did
no.
you play with your sugar gliders and drink martinis?
That's exactly night? What I did. Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you know what? You weren't expecting to come in here and have to talk about this stuff today. But you know what? I got you covered because my man, before he started apparently retching into his toilet bowl, Oscar was nice enough to give me a heads up. And we had a text exchange. And I hate it when I get a text like this. Let me give you what Oscar gave me last night because it was interesting the way it happened. Let's see. All right, last night, 10:28 p.m., I am up. I am normally not up on a Sunday night at that particular hour, but I get a text from Oscar. He said, I hope you are watching the Academy Awards. If not, wait till you see what Will Smith did. I text back to him, pulled out after the first half hour. And then he says, then I call him. Mm-hmm. Because this to me sounds urgent, and I find out what happens. And if you, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to this, a podcast that most people listen to within 5 days, and you're just hearing about this now, I feel very sorry for you. For those of you that tune in every day, this is fun. This is a fun thing to talk about because the world is talking about the fact that Will Smith on the Oscars last night punches, you could interpret it as an open hand slap, but man, it was a different right cross. Have you gotten a chance to see it online at all?
No, I'm bringing it up right now.
You're blissfully, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I'll tell you everything you need to know. All right? And I will consider you to be the listener that are you watching it
right
now?
Oh my God, I just saw it.
All right. I forgot you have ADD.
Wow.
So I forgot that. Pretty amazing. And you're not listening to the audio.
No.
So here's how it goes down. Chris Rock is coming out to present the Oscar for documentary film, and he rolls out on stage and he's doing what Chris Rock does. Chris Rock is a comedian and he's making his jokes and he's having his fun. And then right before the incident, he makes a G.I. Jane reference to Jada Pinkett Smith. And I have not been worldly enough to hear the goings-on about Jada Pinkett and the fact that she is alopecia and she's been dealing with some hair loss issues. So I didn't know what was going on when I watched this. But apparently that's why she has shaved her head. And I will tell you that, like all beautiful women, the one thing I noticed, because I watched a little of the red carpet show as well, I noticed that Jada looked pretty damn hot. Like many women, that's the style where women have, shaved their heads down, or they do it for a role, or they do it for support of somebody else. But I didn't process her, just looking at her, I didn't process her as having any type of medical problem. Now, we'll get back to that because I think it might be relevant, but I'm not sure. And as of this taping at roughly 9 a.m. on March 28th, I am not sure what the very latest is because someone made a reference to me about my wife who saw it first thing this morning. A lot of people waking up to this morning, she informed me there might have been an apology to Will Smith. As of me getting this show ready, I was not aware of an apology going down. So, back to the incident. So, Chris Rock is on stage, and he makes a joke about G.I. Jane 2. Now, G.I. Jane, years and years ago, and this is what I love about Chris Rock, because he's kind of old school, he's making the reference to the movie where Demi Moore shaved her head because she was going to be a Marine or something like that.
A Navy SEAL, I believe.
A Navy SEAL, thank you. Just not a good movie, really. If memory serves me correctly, not a delightful film. That's just what I remember, And so the reaction, and I've watched this dozens of times, hundreds of times I've watched this clip. No, I've only watched it a few times. But you see Will laugh, and then you see Jada look disgusted, like she's offended, like she's not happy. And then Chris Rock moves on to his presentation, and he stops, and that's the moment where he realizes that Will Smith is thundering up the stage. And the way the layouts were of the Oscars last night, everybody was up on top of each other. It was the celebrities, especially the biggies, the big nominees, were very close to the stage. So close that they were sitting in easy chairs, and Will Smith just got out of his chair, and it was a few steps over to Chris Rock. And then, boom. And the first time I see it, I am seeing it with the edited version. Then somebody, it's just so, there's so many different layers. And I haven't even gotten into the analysis of this yet as to how it's going to make people feel and who's on Team Will, who's on Team Chris. So the edited version, there's the slap, and then there's nothing. There's no audio at all. It's just a question of you see Chris Rock's lips moving, but nothing's happening. The unedited version has Chris getting slapped, and they said, wow. And Will goes back to his seat and says, don't let my wife's name come out of your mouth or something like that, your effing mouth. And he's screaming at him. We'll have the audio, by the way, the edited audio. Well, I'll play it twice for you. This is what happened after that. You hear, I'll give you the two clips right away. I'm screwing up my audio vault, but I'll play them again because, you know, why not? When we're depleted in crew, I might as well get the prerogative to play things twice. This is the slap, and this is what went down. This is the audio.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard.
All right, this is when he's walking up. Mm-hmm. Listen.
Oh, wow.
Right in the kisser.
Wow.
He hit him. He didn't go down either.
But. Will Smith.
All right, and so then he says,
Will Smith. Okay.
All right, so this is the audio that was not edited, and we have the little bleeps with the words, but this is what happens immediately after that.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Keep my wife's name out your effing mouth.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? okay.
There it is. Here's the thing about the whole deal. The Oscars have been such a non-factor, and award shows in generally have been such a non-factor, that it took this kind of incident to get everybody today. You know, one of those wonderful, we love them as people that do what I do, wonderful, wonderful moments where we're all talking about the exact same thing. So it happens. I get the tape. Thank you, Oscar, for sending that to me. Hope you're not puking right now. I really, really, really was stunned by this. And then I will give you my experience, and then I'll talk about all the different sides of where this is coming. My experience was I saw this from a text. Oscar texted me the edited version of it that they had on ABC. And at the very end, I found myself almost like when I'm staying up late to watch a sporting event. And are we okay there? Because you're doing, I know you're multitasking.
Yes.
And it was the same thing when I get all wound up watching election coverage, or I get all wound up watching one of my favorite teams play. I had that same adrenaline rush. And when my wife was asleep, by the way, when this was all going on, and when she woke up this morning, I watched her closely when she was digesting this. Because I think because of the circumstances, there is a level of, I don't want to overuse the word trauma as far as that, but it was extraordinarily unsettling to be watching an award show and you just saw it for the first time.
Yes.
It was just unsettling. And I found myself unsettled. And then I found myself tuning back into the Oscars. They bought a lot of viewers from people that went from online content to the live version. Because at this point, after all is said and done, and by the way, it went long. It's insanely long. I don't think they've done anything to fix that. And it goes on. But we all want to wait for one of the last awards of the night, which is the Best Actor Award. And it was just, you are getting used to seeing you multitask. Is everything fine with the broadcast?
Yes, everything is just fine.
You're doing this, you know, as we're going, and I'm just kind of everything okay?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what you're doing? Because I can't work with you.
Oh, so I'm lining up our next tape. I'm making sure everything's good on the board, looking at cameras.
You know what? I won't bother you about it anymore, Pony. I'll let you do what you have to do. Pony's, this is the last minute for Pony, and I appreciate you being here. So getting back to the way I felt. I felt that not only did I feel totally weirded out, because I adore Chris Rock as a comedian. I think he's one of my all-time favorites, and we'll get to, there's so many different levels of this that, reaction that I've read online from people, my own reactions. I'm giving you my first feeling is one of just unsettled. I wasn't sleepy at that point. I needed to stay up, and I wanted to see what was going to happen when and if Will Smith won the Best Actor, which he was extremely favored for with King Richard. And that was the strange part. And I thought about that, as well as thinking about a million different things about this, that you're watching an award show, and an award show is the land of positivity, where you're watching, the only negativity you get in an award show is fun negativity, which is a guy like Ricky Gervais picking on the celebrities, and that's fun too. What you don't get and what you don't expect on any day or level is to have a real WWE moment where, I guess it was an open-handed slap where Chris Rock gets this. But as well as being unsettled, one of the first things that came into my mind was, how 2022 is this? How is this not? This is just where we all are. You know what? Where you don't make jokes anymore, where people are sensitive, where you have to be aware. The world of the stand-up comedian is under siege. It truly is. It is under siege from cancel culture. It is under siege from all corners of people where, and I don't want to diminish people, insensitivity to people with certain situations.
Of course.
But we are now in a world where you can really do some damage to a comedian, a talk show host, a podcaster. If you choose to, you can rock their world. You can rock their world because we're in a world now where your reaction is more important than anything else. How you feel is more important. That's where we are. That's where we are with comedians that talk about not being able to do college campuses anymore because they can't do some of the material they've done before. And that's probably why I go back and I look at Don Rickles and I watch that old school, politically incorrect, insensitive stuff, because that was, you didn't think about that 2 seconds afterwards. And I know that I've done material in my career where I've been called out on it, but nothing like certain comedians. And so that popped into my head where I said, oh, isn't this 2022? Now where you're, and Will Smith goes back to his seat after assaulting Chris Rock and sits down. And then, over laughs at a couple of comments. I think Diddy made a comment about they should go to the after party and settle things. And he's laughing out loud. And then the night goes awkwardly on. Now, so much with it. God, I can't believe that I haven't even gotten to a third of this yet. The Oscars themselves were unfunny. The three comedians were, the material was just a suck fest. It was so, it started with a Beyonce video where she was walled off. I think she was in Compton based on the Williams sisters movie and King Richard. And so it's the tribute to Queen Bee again, which seems mm-hmm. like every award show we ever have is a tribute to Bee. So I'm sitting there, oh, this is a land of suck, and I don't stick with it very long. And then the Amy Schumer trio with Wanda Sykes and Amy Schumer and a comedian, Regina, I forgot what her last name is. It's just not good. It's not funny. It's not well produced. It's not, there were delays, and the whole telecast made me bag it after about a half an hour. So I didn't watch the whole thing. And then suddenly, and you can give Will Smith credit for this, everybody is talking about this, but they're talking about it for the wrong reasons. And they're talking about it because of this this incident. There's a school of thought, Pony. There's so many different schools of thought. They're the people that are Team Smith, and they're the people that are Team Rock, and then there are the people that are saying the whole thing was staged. I can tell you, based on someone who has been in that situation, not on camera, not publicly, that I do not believe that it was a staged event. I don't think it was.
No, I don't think so either.
It was weird.
It was too awkward.
Yeah, it was very awkward. Yeah. The reaction from Chris Rock was, I totally empathize with Chris Rock, because at that particular point, I said, oh my God, he is just trying to get through this, and he's just been smacked. And, Chris Rock kind of talks like this with the lower jaw a little bit, but it looked like me. I thought for a second that he was truly injured with this. It looked like he'd gotten messed up. And then there are people that immediately said, because of Jada's condition. I didn't have a clue about Jada's condition. I don't think it is completely implausible that Chris Rock may have not had a clue about her alopecia condition, where she suffered from hair loss. Because if you look at the joke, the hack joke, the joke that was okay, not a great joke, not so funny, when he is simply looking at her at that moment, one of these things that these comedians do, they have writers backstage that are writing right away to see this. I don't know if Chris Rock had seen Jada Pinkett Smith prior to the Oscars, right? I mean, because she comes in with that look. She looked beautiful. She really did. I mean, she's an absolutely stunning woman. And with her hair, cut down that way, she looked beautiful as well. I think that there is every chance, and it might be plausible, that Chris Rock had no idea about the health condition. I would love to hear more about that, but unfortunately the walls of publicists have now gone up, and we will not probably hear the real deal. I know one thing, that Will Smith did not apologize to Chris Rock. He apologized to the Academy, and then he kind of had a rambling, overly emotional, teary-eyed spiel about protection and protecting people, and that I think after digesting this, I went both ways. I said, if somebody was saying something about my wife, I got into a fight one time because this guy made a comment about my wife. She was vaping at the time, and he made a comment about this vape and said, well, that's not the only thing she's had in her mouth. And I was pissed off, and I'd just been laid off from CBS, and I asked him to go outside, and then I hit him and he didn't react, and then I got scared, and then he ran away. That's the long story. That's the short version of when that happened. But I understand what it is to react, and if we can go further deeply into this, the reaction from Will Smith to me could very well have been the stress of the evening. I mean, I know that I get ramped up when I'm watching an award show, or when I used to watch award shows. I get ramped up when I'm thinking about the movies that I like the actor that won for Coda. But in years past, I've really been passionate about movies, and I get the butterflies, and I get nervous. I can imagine what it must be when you're in that spotlight and you're thinking, this could be me. I could be the best actor of 2021. This could be my moment. So what I'm trying to say is the tension and the mind and the emotions are, you know, probably by its very nature, being nominated for that big an award, at a fever pitch already. And it just was a moment where a lot of people said Will Smith was wrapped way too tight. Well, I think Will Smith not only is wrapped way too tight, but how long has Will Smith been in the cocoon of celebrity, right? I mean, how long has he been in this world where is? I mean, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Prior to that, he was a very successful musical artist. And he's been dealing with this. He's been in that bubble forever.
Wild West.
Somebody said self-absorbed moron. Self-absorbed Hollywood moron. I think what I think about this is that he definitely has demonstrated in the past that he's self-absorbed. He has definitely demonstrated in the past, and his family's demonstrated, that they're in that kind of Hollywood bubble where, you know, weird stuff happens and we're so important. All of these celebrities, I think it's by their very nature of having that level of smoke blown up their ass for that long would be a little diluted into what's real and what's not real. So when I watched this, my first reaction was, there's a man defending his wife's honor. When I first saw it, I'm like, why did he do that? But then when I read deeper about the fact that she's got a medical condition, because that's where my mind went right away, I'm watching this and I'm saying to myself, Jesus, you know, what's the deal? And then when he accepted the Best Actor, he's crying, he's apologizing to the Academy, said he hopes they have him back. He's talking about protecting people. And then he did make a reference to Life Imitates Art, which was funny because Richard Williams in the movie and in real life, obviously, was a very protective father, an insanely protective father, who, by the way, gets his ass kicked. And see, when I'm talking about this, my mind goes down another road where I'm like, yeah, maybe it was staged. But no, the movie's already out.
I don't think so.
They've already promoted the movie. No, I don't think that happened. It is just weird, and the word would be unsettling. And I know that I do wish to see more of what happened for real, if they ever get out there. The whole thing about Chris Rock, and then we get to the bully level, you know? I mean, Will Smith played Muhammad Ali. Will Smith has been cut and buff in all of these movies. Will Smith is a big guy. And, you know, Chris Rock is the size of my 8-year-old son. So on the bully level, you look at that and you're walking up to a guy that, you could kick his ass in a fight. It would be like me walking up to you, Pony. That's what it would be.
That's
like,
fair.
You know, where I would do that.
That's fair.
It's just weird. It's so weird. And you didn't, and you blissfully, what were you watching last night? Or were you just, playing with your figurines and drinking martinis? What was, when somebody misses this, I'm just curious.
I was watching a TV show that we'll talk more about later. I think you'll enjoy it. A Pick to
Click. That's right. That's your TV reco?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to give me a name yet, or do you want to hold it off?
Well, we can hold back for a bit.
All right. Very good. That's the way you do things. Not seeing this in real time and then diving into it after the fact was just, surreal for me to see. And I was up to like 1 o'clock in the morning because I just couldn't wind down after this. And I went all the way with the Oscars. Coda, bravo. The feel good. Thank God the feel good hit of the season won. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it was spectacular. It really makes you feel good. And it's a triumph for humanity and an affirmation of decency in people. So that was the movie that I was glad won the Oscars. So at the end of the day, on this just ridiculously poorly produced program and bad jokes. And by the way, when I say tone deaf Oscars, I wrote the horribly unfunny, poorly produced, socially tone deaf Oscars. You had you have really no significant mentions of the conflict in Ukraine, the war that's going on right now, which was stunning to me. A few actors did. There were a few comments here and there, But I think they, you know, they're the voice, and they're a world voice, and I think they could have done a lot more. And this is on the heels of Amy Schumer announcing to the world that she wants to be more political at the Oscars, and no one's going to tell her what to do, and that was BS. They were so manic about the way they were doing this. Here's my formula, all right? Can we get back to a man or a woman, one person who comes up on stage, has writers that give them great jokes about Hollywood and actors, and will be done with it? And you know what? I'll even go so far as to say, if you want a musical number like Billy Crystal, throw that in if it makes you happy. Do that too. But it was a terrible, in my humble opinion. I mean, every element of it, as far as the technical production, all of that. And it didn't matter at the end of the day because they were rewarded by one of the best scenes that we've ever seen. And I'm talking about the kind of scene where somebody screams in a department store, not the kind of scene in a movie where this happened. Now, a lot of people initially, I think, were defending Will Smith for defending his wife's honor when he does that. And then a lot of people today, it's kind of shifting more. I have come down, and I'm ready to make my decision right now. Mm. I am Judge Mike O'Mara, and I will tell you that I'm hypocritical because I have been in a situation where things got a little physically violent. I'm not proud of that, and that's the key point. Not proud of that. There were many, many ways that Will Smith could have handled this if he was that pissed off, and I think that when he did this, he's the one that's going to be in damage control mode for a very, very long time. Do I think this is going to affect his box office career? No, not at all. I don't think it will. That might get enhanced. But as far as the immediate fallout, more people on Team Rock than Team Smith about this because it was a show. It really was strange to see that it all went down. So when I processed all of it and read a lot of people's comments online, I end up feeling the same way that a lot of people feel, that, you know, you don't go up and hit somebody. You don't do that. You certainly don't do that when you're nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars. You say something if you're, you know, he might not be aware. I would love to hear, you'll probably get a statement from Chris Rock that comes out after this. But the initial thing was just so unsettling to watch. And kudos to Chris Rock for standing up there completely just embarrassed out of his mind and continued to at least get through that segment. I have to be Team Rock on this because even if he did know about the situation, it was a bad joke. It was a cruel joke probably, but did not warrant the physical altercation. And then no. Will Smith went right back to his seat. And that's what it is. But it's so funny to witness everybody immediately taking the sides, you know, this guy and that guy, when we really, really don't get an explanation. We probably never will of what happens. But I know what it is to have a loved one that, you know, somebody makes an insult about. And Pony, I know you never will. We don't make jokes about Glenda. We love Glenda. So, you know, you've never really experienced, you know, that feeling that someone is doing. Or maybe you have. Are you going to tell me now that I've done something in the past that's been horrible?
No.
Because maybe I've mentioned your mom or something in the past.
No, I mean, you guys only say horrible things about me, which is fine.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, and you know we love you, so that's okay. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have to side with the comedian who's up there just trying to make people laugh. That's all it's about, just trying to make people feel good and get through his little segment on the largest stage in the world. And it's weird. I'm still unsettled about it. That's why I've been talking about it for a half an hour. It's weird.
It was definitely unsettling. I mean, it's a physical assault for what is a joke that you would hear at any roast. It would have been fine if Smith got up and, like, cursed him out or something, like, said what he said is fine. But, I mean, striking someone in the face during a production, that is, it's just unwarranted.
Have you ever been in a physical confrontation of that kind, even when you were a child?
Oh, yeah. Like, when I was younger and in school, I'd get in fights now and then. But, I mean, certainly not at work.
It is childish, ultimately. I mean, it's expressing your anger in the most, childlike way you can by physically lashing out. And as somebody who, you know, I own the hypocrisy of it. I did challenge the guy. By the way, it was strange when I hit the guy and he didn't react. It was really weird. I guess it says something about my physical conditioning. By the way, I fell back on my little Western boots, then blew my knee out, my ACL, and then my hips were bad after that, and so it ruined my life. So the moral of the story is don't do anything physically to anybody. So that covers a little bit. We'll have we'll replay those tapes in the audio vault and take a short break here. Later in the show, we'll have an update on our boy Rob. Oscar and I got a chance to chat with him yesterday, and we'll have some words about that and more fun and more thrills, including a TV reco from Pony. We'll be back with the news after this.
Marriage. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. We love the people that support our bonus show. Really a terrific way to support the show and to get some wonderful uncensored content. It's the TMOS bonus package. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click the banner mark TMOS bonus packages, and get it today. Oh, by the way, did we mention it makes a great gift for the TMOS fan in your life? Buy one for them and for yourself. The TMOS bonus package. It's what you want. And besides, you deserve it. Order it today.
Wonderful. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Sunday. You know, it's hard to imagine, but spring is almost here. And if you want a soft carpet of grass under your feet, you'll need your lawn back. Sunday gets your grass growing and keeps it healthy all season long. Their custom plans include fertilizer and everything you need to easily care for your lawn. And with ingredients like seaweed, iron, and molasses, you can feel good with kids and pets being around. All you have to do is visit GetSunday.com, put in your address, and their lawn analysis tool does the rest. It's so cool the way they do it. They use soil and climate data to create a personal nutrient plan delivered to your door when you need it. Then all you do is attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. It takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, this stuff really works. I've used it. I know. It's very easy and it's very quick. Sunday can help you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. And Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off. Full season plans start at just $129. And you can get 20% off at checkout when you visit GetSunday.com/TMOS20. Now listen, that's a different code, so remember that. That's GetSunday.com/TMOS20. That's 20% off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS20.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and you know, was Will out of line? That's the big question today. Should he and Jada be able to take a joke, just like the bazillions of other celebrities who've been made fun of at award shows? You would think so. Most people would. But there's one detail that, you know, justify, if you're in that camp, maybe justifies Will's actions. Jada shaves her head due to a medical condition. She has alopecia, which causes hair loss. I always thought alopecia was the skin disorder. I thought that's what it was. I didn't think it was a hair loss thing.
I think it is a skin condition that causes patchy hair loss.
Okay. Well, she shaves her head due to a medical condition. Sources say Chris approached Will and Jada backstage later to apologize. That's all I've got so far. And apparently Denzel Washington got involved. There's no word on how that went down. But during the commercial break, Denzel and Tyler Perry, it's almost like, it's just so weird, Hollywood. Denzel and Tyler Perry were seen calming Will down. Hey, if you're going to have an actor that's going to intervene to calm people down, you get the elder statesman, Denzel Washington. That's awesome. I'm not sure, you know, if Madea is going to calm things down as much. It's just surreal. It didn't look like Chris Rock was really badly hurt, but you know, that's what the world's talking about today. After the show, Will and Jada, their very tough son, Jaden Smith, tweeted, this is where the whole Smith clan lose me. This is what he tweeted. He said, "And that's how we do it."
Oh, what a douche.
He's a total douche. And he weighs in. Do you think that they, you know, he's been a douche for so long.
Yeah.
And they made a movie together that sucked as well. Do you think that on any level, Will Smith or Jada will see that tweet and go, "Son, you're not helping. Or will they just be, thanks for the support? I don't know. I think that says a lot right now. That the kid did that. That he tweeted like, hey, that's how we roll. Tough guy. Oh, God. Weirdness. Weirdness. Now, more news over the weekend. A really sad situation. No way you haven't heard that Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins died in his hotel in Bogota, Colombia on Friday night. He was only 50 years old. This was a big shocker over the weekend. Still no word on the cause of death, but local officials say that he had 10 different drugs in his system. That ain't good, including marijuana, opioids, tricyclic antidepressants. You must know about those, right?
Yeah. It's a type of
antidepressant. Do they do anything bad to you?
They don't mix well with stimulants and other and like opiates and stuff.
So you don't take other drugs with them, or you're going to get into trouble. He had also benzodiazepines. Benzodiazepines.
That's a muscle relaxer, so some kind of barbiturate.
Yeah, used to relieve stress and anxiety and to help people sleep. God, man. Stay away from that crap. He passed away as fans were starting to gather for the band's performance in Bogota. Paramedics responded to a call about a patient with chest pains. When they arrived, they were unable to revive him. Obviously, the show was canceled. The Foo Fighters have already returned from Bogota to L.A. But you do know about a person when you read all of the tributes just pouring in about Taylor Hawkins. And yeah. I think it came through when you'd see him in interviews or you'd see him on stage that he was a good guy. So that just sucks. And, you know, when you've got somebody that is involved, you know, with substances, you can't, it doesn't matter. Right? I think we've learned that absolutely. Over the years, and it just sucks. Another person gone, probably because of that. I don't know if we'll get more information, but, you know, it's sad, and especially sad when somebody is such a good guy and so beloved in the music community.
I'd say best drummer in the world. I mean, he is fantastic.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Because Dave Grohl's a great drummer.
Yeah. You know,
he was one of the best.
I saw him play drums live.
Really incredible. And, you know, as a drummer myself, just so, for a little guy, too, a little wiry guy, so incredibly strong. Michael Che told his audience at a stand-up show on Saturday that this will be his last year doing Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. He said, quote, "This is my last year. You know, my tie is a clip-on, right? What man wears a clip-on tie to work for 8 years? That's embarrassing." So I don't know why. He maybe he was joking, but yesterday he said on Instagram, quote, "I'm not leaving SNL." So he had a panicky moment, too. "I said it at a comedy show and some dork transcribed it and wrote an article." In the caption, he said, quote, "To comedy fans, please stop telling reporters everything you hear at a comedy show. You're spoiling the trick." Well, don't say something stupid when your fame is predicated on being on national television, dummy. Come on. He's been hosting Weekend Update with Colin Jost since 2014, and I think they've evolved into the role. I think they are better than they were at the very beginning, but, you know, he's worried about that. So that's Michael Che news for everybody. A new study found your coworkers might actually like to hear your thoughts on how bad they are at their job. I'm just the messenger. As long as it's constructive. When you think of all the criticism you've, and I'm going to use Oscar now because I don't yell at you nearly as much as Oscar does.
True.
Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely.
Of all the criticism that has been heaped on you in your association with this particular program, can you break it down to any kind of percentage of what criticism has been positive and what has been constructive?
Can you say, you know what? I would say it's like delivered in a negative way a lot, but it's positive. It's usually helpful.
This is a pony answer.
I don't know how
that was a classic pony answer. Well, it's supposed to be, you like to get constructive criticism at the office. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, in the business of show, there is no one who likes to get criticism. You know, there's certain people who react to it violently, where they slap somebody in the face. No, I'm sorry. That's getting back to the other thing. It's found that most people are receptive to feedback than you think, but we usually don't say anything because we don't like confrontation. Well, that's not the case with this show either. There's some people on this show that absolutely adore confrontation.
There are.
Sorry. Not proud of that. But anywho. So what's this mean? It found most people are more receptive to feedback than you think, but we usually don't say anything because we don't like confrontation and we don't want to seem rude. Is that the person that's receiving it that doesn't want to seem rude or doesn't want to get fired?
Yeah, yeah. I think they're saying the receiving end may not respond in a way that, you know, obviously they're not going to get excited and happy, and they may not say anything, but supposedly they enjoy receiving this criticism. I'm not sure how they went about testing this, though.
With work feedback, they said there's an easy way to decide if you should speak up. Just ask yourself, would I want them to be honest with me if the roles were reversed? Well, la-di-da-da-da-da-da. Who knows? I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. We try to be honest.
This is true.
That's the way. People can tell if you're not being honest. A new study estimates, that humans could have the capability to live up to 150 years, even though there are no verified cases of a person living to be older than 122. That was the max. Groups of geniuses, this is what the story says, scientists and internet billionaires have all been looking for ways to crack the code on aging. So a new study analyzed 70,000 participants. That's a big study. And they study them up to age 85 to see what might be possible based on their ability to fight disease, risk of heart conditions, and cognitive impairment. They found that not a single participant showed the biological resiliency to live to 150 by today's medical standards. So researchers concluded that the absolute limit of the human lifespan should be between 100 and 150. Now the hard part, how to slow or reverse the aging process. The scientists and the science is complicated and hypothetical, but basically the code they're trying to crack involves understanding the life cycles of cells. It's all on the cellular level. And then finding ways to keep DNA from degrading as it replicates. A scientist said, quote, if DNA is the digital information on a compact disc, then aging is due to scratches. We are searching for the polish. So, yes, a scientist who's working on the futuristic research was just dropping a compact disc reference. Thank you. I don't get it. I don't know whether it's true or not, but, you know, we'll see.
I studied a bit of this in college. You have your DNA, which is like code for all the like proteins in your body, and that's how you're built. And every time your cells divide, your DNA divides as well. And there's like a little bit of stuff at the end of the DNA that's kind of like gibberish, and that a little bit of that gets lost each time. And eventually, as you get older and older, you run out of gibberish and it starts like eating into the real important code.
Well, right there, Mr. Science. You've been a tremendous help to the show today. I'm very proud of you. Fantastic. That I didn't know anything about that. I didn't get that at all. Good job, Pony Boy. You rock. You see how he reacts to compliments,
this is
ladies
positive
and gentlemen?
Positive criticism.
Yeah, very
not
positive.
Not criticism at all.
Does it make you comfortable when I praise you?
It makes me happy.
And now a little something. A man in Chile turned a wedding into a stoner's paradise. You'll like this, Pony. When he baked his sister a magical wedding cake laced with marijuana. We've had a lot of marijuana on the show lately. It had guests dancing all night. Alvaro Rodriguez, 29-year-old guy, spiked just one of the 7 tiers of the bridal cake with cannabis. Here's his quote. It was good fun. The funniest reaction was my aunt. I remember her back hurt, and 2 hours after eating the cake, her pain disappeared, and she was up dancing like a teenager. Good for her. Alvaro said that Everyone was made aware that the cake had magical powers, and it was not given to underage guests. Well, that's good. Yeah. Everyone knew that it was spiked, and they tried it. The bride even asked for the special cake after having a happy experience with magical brownies previously. So she kind of was instigating the whole thing. Mm. The couple will be honeymooning this week, and they will be visited by Carla O'Mara, who is now a true believer. There we are. No, that's a marijuana reference to her. Oh, that's right. There we go. I surprised you, didn't I? Fantastic. We have to take a break. We'll come back with a Rob update as the... Well, they're dropping like flies here on the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a short break and be back with more fun and more thrills. You have the honor and privilege of listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa!
Checking in live from the deck of the Jack Tar.
Do you know that Pony has something peculiar and unexpected in his car at all times?
So I got an inflatable fishing kayak.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I never thought I'd get a gone fish from this guy.
I like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cats.
You don't even eat them?
I mean, I don't want to eat a dirty Fairfax fish.
Bad fish.
I'll eat, like, flounder if I'm, like, surf fishing in Virginia Beach.
I caught you a delicious bass.
This shark will swallow you whole.
Whether you're the skipper on the deck of the Jack Tar or the SS Caballito.
Caballito.
Small horse.
The Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center has everything you need for your next fishing expedition.
One case of apricot brandy.
Happy.
Iranian caviar, and don't forget the color TV.
Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and as we say on the high seas...
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Thank you, Cap. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program brought to you by Rothy's. I might or I might not get to telling you about my son's first little dabble at tournament golf, which is kind of fun over the weekend. But one thing I can tell you about is Carla walked the... It was only six holes. That's what he played. But she walked the entire six holes with her Rothy's. People seldom compliment you on your shoes, but that's not the case with Rothy's. Oscar got the white RS01 sneakers. I got the driving loafers. In fact, I have two pairs of them. I've got them in black, and I've also got them in a khaki color. Rob has the... that's probably not the right color that I just described. Rob's got the Chelsea boots in tan, and people notice them and love them all the time. And we all noticed right away that you don't need to break them in. As soon as you put Rothy's on, their soft, flexible material and amazing insoles make them the most wearable shoes you can own. They're incredibly versatile. Wear them with a suit, a pair of sweatpants, or anything in between. They're knit with 100% recycled materials. Even the sneaker laces are made from plastic water bottles. And if dirty sneakers are a pet peeve, rest easy. Rothy's are 100% machine washable. And just to top it all off, the driving loafer was just named one of Time's 100 best inventions of 2021 in the style category, calling it an ideal shoe for the late pandemic era. Nice. Step into something fresh with the spring edit from Rothy's. With new products for both men and women, you can get something for yourself or someone else. For a limited time, you can put your Rothy's on and get your footwear for $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/TMOS. That's $20 off at rothys.com/TMOS. Okay, yesterday, before I guess Oscar started booting, well, Oscar didn't boot until after the Oscars because we had a nice conversation during the middle of it. But Oscar's sick today. His mom apparently had a 24-hour bug, and Oscar's got the same thing. So we're letting Oscar get well, and he should be back with us tomorrow. Regarding Mr. Spiewak, want to give you an update on that because I know a lot of the Rob Mobbers in our listening audience are very curious about where we are with Rob Spiewak. Well, where we are with Rob is this. Rob is dealing with some very serious health problems, and we're giving him as much time as he needs to do that. He is home. He is aware of what he needs to do to get healthy. I'm going to let him go through the details when he eventually gets back here on the show. But I will tell you that there is no timetable right now for Rob. We're letting Rob take care of doctor's visits and get all that out of the way. And Rob will come back to us when he's ready to come back to us. And I see you. Why are you grinning? What?
There might be a visit tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. So you've heard that from him, that he might pop in and talk about it. Okay. He sounds tired, and he sounds like he's been through it, but he's still Rob. And, you know, look, we are more than just business associates, especially me and Rob. Rob and I know that it's very popular for people to talk about the punching bag syndrome with me and with Rob. But the bottom line is, in real life, Rob and I will be celebrating, I think, next month, our 30th year together. So we've been at it a long time. And it's more than just having a radio comrade. It's caring about people. And Oscar's the same way. When it comes to Oscar and Oscar's connections to the medical community, he's reached out and, you know, through his sister and his brother and both of their spouses, who are also medical professionals, he's helping Rob with his issues. I have, if you think I'm being cryptic about the, you know, what's really going on, I'm not. I'm just letting Rob be the one to talk to you about what he is dealing with. But, you know, when he got back from the hospital, I breathed a sigh of relief. I think he's got some issues that he has to deal with, and he'll tell you all about that when he's ready. There's no rush. The discussion we had yesterday was that, you know, what do you need from us? What can we do going forward? How are you? He understood that. There was a lot of, it was very, very lovey-dovey. There were a lot of loves being thrown around as far as that, because interestingly, when this all went down, it was a week ago that we took Monday off, because it was a gut shot that one of our own was in a medical situation like that. It's tough to deal with. It's tough to deal with somebody who, you know, has some problems that are more than a hangnail. You really have to take pause and value the most important things. For those of you that listen to this every day, we value our listeners more than anybody else. We truly do. We also value and respect your curiosity about the situation and your concern about the situation, and we want to honor that. And I think after the conversation with Rob yesterday, we plan to do that and let you know what's going on. But at the same time, what was happening yesterday were, you know, three friends talking to each other and, you know, validating the commitment to going forward, helping each other and helping Rob, and Rob helping us in any way he can. It's just been probably one of the more difficult times in my career, having to, you know, have a person go down and you know, realize that you know, this is something that is long-term and has to be taken care of. Now, please don't do this, listeners. All right, I know you love to get online and you love to talk about stuff, but I don't want to see. Rob will be back soon enough to tell you what he's dealing with, and I don't need any speculation, because I think that's just not pleasant. So if you can avoid doing that, yeah, I have no control over whether you do, but it would be nice if you avoided that for the time being, because he's going to come back here and he will be, you know, he will be the old Rob coming back on the show. I don't know if you've had any personal contact with him, Pony. I think you've probably texted him or texted Carrie. I'm not sure what your contact has been. But he's the same old guy. And the funniest thing I will share with you, have you had any contact with Rob?
Yes, I was texting back and forth with him yesterday, seeing how he's doing, seeing if he'd be able to do some tests today to test some equipment.
Okay, good.
It sounds like he's doing better.
I'm looking forward to that. I will share with you, because nothing ever really changes, what happened with this. I'm going to see if I got the right text here as I'm going through it. Hold on. Hold on, everybody. God damn it.
Certainly in better spirits yesterday when I was talking to him, and I'm just glad that he's starting to come around and starting to feel a little bit better every day. But it's definitely been a battle for him and for Carrie, and these days trying to find doctors and COVID protocols, everything is just infinitely more difficult.
So at the end, I want to you know, gauge your response to how sensitive I was during this. Let's see. And so it ends. We have our little exchange after our phone conversation. Rob sends out and says, "Thanks, guys. I love you." And I said, "Love you too, asshole." I don't know if that was. And then there was like silence. And I'm like, you know, it's then I felt like Chris Rock up on that stage for a second there. Then I decide, well, what the hell? I'm not getting the laugh I expected for that. Then I got a ha ha. I don't know who that came from. And I said, Jesus, if nobody responds, I'm going to feel bad. And then he said, by the way, my a-hole is in perfect health. So there's that. And I wrote him back so proud. So if you think we've lost the sense of his a-hole is fine. If anybody was looking for that part of the body, that's not where the problem is. We have to take another break. When we come back, who knows? My son's first golf tournament, and Carla has made me an appointment with a nutritionist from hell. But I can't say much more than that. We'll be back with the Mike and Pony Show. And by the way, put that on the poll, and you know, I want to see how many numbers we get today. Thank you, listeners. We'll be back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the Bonus Game. I hated the Bonus Game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, Bob. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. You know, one of the most important parts of my show prep every day is making sure I have my Liquid IV. You see, making hydration a priority helps us feel better on a day-to-day basis. Just one stick of Liquid IV hydration multiplier in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. Plus, Liquid IV has incredible hydration flavors like watermelon, lemon lime, grape, pina colada, and my beloved strawberry. Plus, it has 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. And another thing I'll mention about Liquid IV, I love drinking it. If you are like dehydrated, you come in from exercise, you come in from anything where you feel like you need to get water into you, it's so... I don't know how to describe. I guess the way I would say it's almost like I'm describing a wine or a bourbon or something. It drinks so easily. Does that make sense? It drinks so easy because it's so, especially the strawberry, it just is so delicious. I can't get into my body fast enough. It has 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Liquid IV has cellular transport technology, CTT. It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium to deliver water and nutrients to the bloodstream super fast. Plus, Liquid IV is out to change the world. They've donated over 20 million servings globally. Grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com. Excuse me. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar has the pukey pukies today. I know he was fine right around 10:30 last night when we were talking about the incident at the Oscars, but Pony manned up and popped into the co-host seat today and is not only running the board, but doing a great job hanging out here. And I know that while everybody, some of us were watching the Oscars, Pony, you were diving into a TV show that you were very excited to tell me about when we came in today. Lay the reco on me, please.
Okay, there's a new show on HBO Go called Peacemaker. And the only way to describe this series is it's kind of like a mix between the silliness and humor of Deadpool, but with the dark, uncomfortable, cringy humor of Succession.
Okay, and so it's that it would be darker than Deadpool, right?
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Is it superhero-y as well, or is it not?
You know, it's so hard to try and peg any category for this. It's hysterically funny. John Cena does an amazing job. as the main character. Yeah, it's John Cena as a like an ultra conservative, like vigilante superhero, anti-hero type character who has a pet bald eagle. I mean, it's like everything like over the top patriot.
That almost sounds like a Colbert Report type of thing that he's doing with that, you know?
Yeah.
And the flag all, everywhere in the American flag. What's it called again?
It's called Peacemaker. It's on HBO. It is hysterically
Does he kill a lot of people?
So his motto is, I love peace so much that I will kill however many men, women, and children I have to get it.
All right, I get it. That sums it up right there. That sounds good. Peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
On, HBO. HBO. What is HBO? I get HBO Max.
HBO Max. I'm sorry. I always say, I don't know why I say go.
It's not HBO Go. It's HBO Max. Hey, quick sidebar, as our Oscar Santana would say, a great day over the weekend in Florida. Oh, my God. The first car carrier. I saw that. Let me describe how I feel when I see the first car carrier of the season. It means that they, the locusts, the feeders, the migrators that come down here and exploit all of our natural resources, they are leaving. And it was a little earlier than I expected, which was an even more. I'm going off to drop my kid off at another neighborhood down the road with our friends Scott and Jennifer and their son, who's Michael's bestie right now, is named Austin. Great kid. They spent the entire break. The entire break. He played so much Fortnite that, and congratulations, by the way, on the victory royales, kids. Mm. Nicely done. Very good. At least you got time to swing the golf club a little bit. I'm driving into their community, and I see the first one. And not only do I see it, but I see them loading it up. I see the old people standing next to their cars because we're not going to drive ourselves. We're going to fly. Because now, look, if I could afford it, I would do it when I'm going up north. But I don't. But it is a sign that so many wonderful things are going to happen. You're going to be able to go into a store parking lot and actually find a space. If you feel like going out and having a dining experience in a restaurant, you're actually going to be able to go out at maybe 6 o'clock on a Friday and actually get into a restaurant. It's you're going to be able to drive with less traffic and less really stupid moves, like pulling into your lane when they're taking a left-hand turn. It's a special time down here in Florida when the car carriers arrive. And then, just like it's depressing when they're all coming from up north, which happens anywhere between usually November and February. So they're leaving, which is great.
What percentage would you say of the population decreases when this happens? Like, how big
not
of
enough.
A change? Yeah.
Not enough. I truly, all I know is that the snowbirders, and I'm a transplant. I get it, but I make my home down here. My son is in school down here. So I think I have a say in talking about them when they leave. The population just gets noticeably larger. I have never broken it down. I don't know if anybody ever has broken it down as to whether or not that's that's a thing. I don't know if you could measure that. I know that it does get ridiculous here. Anywhere from the end of March to the end of February till the end of March. And to see that happening early. By the way, Easter is normally when that's their line. That's when they do that. They don't go back home for Easter, all the Midwestern Protestant holidays they enjoy from the Midwest. But they if it's an early Easter, so if that if Easter falls in the beginning of April, it's usually a good thing. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. Wait, it's coming. And there's something in the air down here. My family and I have been sneezing like crazy. At least I'm not throwing up like Oscar. So want to say bye. Don't let the ass hit you in the rain. Enjoy your flight. Get on that plane as soon as you can. And thanks for supporting the trucking economy by overpaying to get your car shipped to your little Midwestern town. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Saturday was the first. I think I put it in my mind that it was a golf tournament for my son. My wife posted some nice photos, but it really, really wasn't. It was more like kitten wrangling, where I had a choice of putting my son in a 9-hole tournament. He's never played competitive golf at all. In fact, he doesn't play competitive with me. We mostly go to the range together. So He was wrangled with seven other little twitching, running around, seven, eight, nine-year-olds, and they were going to play six holes. And then the parents at this little golf course had the option to walk. And so we didn't have – I didn't realize until we got out in the middle of the course that there was one other couple that had a kid, and they were riding a golf cart. And I would have jumped all over that. But Carla guilts me out into that. Oh, you don't want to walk? You want to be the fat man that's riding? Yes, I do. Yes, yeah. I want to be the fat man riding. So it really wasn't competition other than seven kids got up, seven kids hit golf balls, and then they went to the best ball that was hit. And my son did that a couple of times, had the best ball that was hit. And it's just the only thing I was concerned about during this tournament is they – when it's their time to hit their shot, they all get so close that about 20 times the coach, by the way, whose name is Thor.
What?
That is the name of their coach, and he looks like Thor. He has blonde hair, and the guy looks like he can wield the Thor hammer. He is huge.
Good Lord.
He is bulky, and he's a fantastic coach. But all he was doing, because when the other kids, the other six, would crowd the kids that were hitting, and somebody was going to catch it in the mouth. And you know they'd have to have a Chris Rock moment. It was fun. It was exciting, but it was not what I expected. So we're going to move him up into the nine holes, which I think is more of a type of competition. But it was not really. And we got him kind of psyched. Got him out there early. Let him hit practice balls.
Good.
You know, because he video game through most of his spring break, and I think that turns your brain to squash. Although I did sit in for a victory royale. Do you know what a... You've not played Fortnite, right?
No. All I know is a royale with cheese.
A royale with cheese is from Pulp Fiction. That was on the Oscars last night. A victory royale. This is how it works. Very simple. Fortnite is an online shooting game. And the best of my knowledge, because I watched one full game, I said, that's all I'm going to do. I will watch one full game with you. I am not your video game buddy. I am your golf buddy. I'm your baseball buddy. I'm your school buddy. I'm not your video game buddy. I don't want to deal with it. You love it. I don't love it. So he says, Dad, will you at least watch one game? So I come in. I watch one game. To the best of my knowledge, you're transported into this little village or whatever the hell it is. And then there are 100 other people from, I suppose, Pony, you know the internet better than I, all over the world who are transported into this little game. And the object is to murder them all.
Yes.
You murder them all, and then you get your victory royale. And I sat here and watched my son knock off, you know, not all 100, because they kill each other, too. But I watched my son become the last person standing on this game called Fortnite. And he was super psyched, and he did it, you know, in a very, very efficient way. He's a skilled killer. He really, really is.
Great.
So that's it. That's great. The update on my son. And the last thing I wanted to say about the O'Mara home front, I told you about the rat, the most disgusting and gross thing I'd ever experienced before. I do not know. We finally got him another mouse, tiny little mouse that he can handle. Mm-hmm. I brought the mouse, dropped it in, was kind of dangling the mouse over the snake, and the snake went at it but didn't close the deal, which disturbs us. As of yesterday, the snake was running around his enclosure. As of this morning, I cannot find the mouse. So I don't know whether the mouse is either in Jake's belly right now or hiding under the paper towels. I don't know.
Would you see the mouse bulge in his belly, or is he big enough to hide it?
No, because he's big enough now where I wouldn't be able to tell. It's just too small a creature. But that's what I have to look forward to for the rest of my day. Cleaning the ammonia-scented enclosure with vinegar and water. That's my life. Yes. I tend to the animals while my wife goes out and estheticians. That's what I do each and every day. We have to take a break. When we come back, we've got the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, including some audio, if you didn't happen to hear it, of the incident, as they're calling it, at the Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences. We'll take a short break and come back on the Mike and Pony Show that you happen to be listening to with me, Mike, and him, Pony. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, man has sought the ability to conquer all things. He conquered nature, medicine, his enemies. But one thing always eluded him, man could not conquer time. Until now. Thanks to the Mike O'Mara Show app, time has become man's minion. Traveling back in time is as easy as hitting rewind. Stop time in its very tracks, just by hitting pause. And if you want to travel into the future, where God knows what awaits you, a simple fast forward will get you there, if you dare. Plus, you can stream the show live as it happens thanks to TMOS Live. You can control time in the past, the present, and the future. Plus, TMOS Live, always on, always there. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Morgan. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our good friends and the good people at Cornerstone First Financial. We love Cornerstone. You will be too. In an anticipated move, the Fed has raised rates for the first time since December of 2018 in attempts to get inflation under control. So, what does this mean for you? While the days of ultra-low rates may be behind us, the days of saving money are right now. Do you want to do it? Right now.
When?
Right now. Very good, honey. Thank you. That made me happy for some weird obsessive compulsive reason. And with home equity, the highest it's been in 45 years, you can take cash out for any reason. And it may be tax deductible. Do yourself a favor. Whether it's a purchase or a refinance, call my good friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. The spring housing market has kicked off, and with limited inventory and limited inventory. Talking too much, mouth breaks. And with droves of people coming off the sidelines, believe me when I say you want Cornerstone First in your corner. With their no obligation rate quote and 100% satisfaction guarantee, why would you call anyone else? Call Cornerstone First Financial, the friend of the TMOS listener. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I can say with good authority, Oscar has used them, Rob has used them, I have used them, and you're going to love them.
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Soundtown. It is Soundtown. We're going to give a replay now for the Will Smith situation where if I'm repeating it and you're just tuning in, you go, what happened? I didn't listen to the front of the show. I didn't watch the Oscars. I didn't watch any videos of the situation. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, and this is what it sounded like. Let's listen.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard.
Boom.
Oh, wow.
That's the hit.
Wow. Will Smith.
That's the edit out.
Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay. So we are here.
I feel
to,
so bad for him.
Give a documentary out. To give an Oscar out for best documentary. Now, the beauty of documentaries, because they make you, when you watch one, you feel smart. Like you watched a, like, you know, like you read a book or something.
You know, here it is. We'll play the second part that where Will Smith is yelling at him. I think we're all like little kids. You get hit that hard in the face, you want to just cry. Yeah. Why did you do that? And instead, you are on national television and you are presenting an award for documentary films. And he composed himself. And I give kudos to Chris Rock for hanging in there. And he's making a joke. He wasn't trying to hurt her. I don't think he was. It was a joke. This is more of this that had been. There was a big chunk that ABC, with their incredibly crappy production, they edited it out. And then this is the part where Will Smith hits him, goes back to his seat, and starts yelling at him.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? okay.
I mean... Right? The most awkward moment in the history of the Oscars, which was a pretty big deal, and that's why everybody's talking about it today. You get really, that's the one piece of audio where you really get a sense of it. right? That's where you can really tell.
Yeah, more and more, I'm definitely feeling like I'm on Team Chris Rock.
Yeah, I think so. There'll be more. A little more will shake loose, and then we'll move on to the next controversy. This is a montage from Taylor Hawkins, who was such a lovable and beloved member of the rock and roll community, and the man who was probably one of the best drummers in rock and roll, if not the best drummer in rock and roll, with Foo Fighters. This is just a nice little gathering of tapes about Taylor Hawkins.
Taylor is in that John Bonham school of drummer. Not the persnickety stuff, but the basic fundamental where every time it sounds very important.
Taylor has the toughest job because he's the drummer in a band that includes the greatest drummer alive. And he's got technique that Dave only dreams about.
You're gonna be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Foo Fighters.
First, I'd like to thank Dave. None of this would happen if it wasn't for Dave. Thank you for letting me be in your band. I want to thank my beautiful wife, Allison, my beautiful children, Shane Hawkins, Annabelle Hawkins, Everly Hawkins. I love you guys so much. Thanks, everyone.
It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these.
You know, who knows? We don't know for sure, really. There were narcotics in his system, but F drugs, if that's what did it, really. Oh, so sad. And such a tragedy that somebody leaves us that quickly. We're going to play a game now, Pony, you and me.
Okay.
I almost hesitate to do this because this game is not a ancient celebrity voice that it sounds like. And it's not super modern either, and it's maybe close to B-level celebrity. But there's a guy in a theater, I forgot where it was, I think it's the Midwest, who goes to one of those Prado-style theaters where you get your seats, the Alamo, where you get your seats assigned, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a deal. You get it, you pay for a seat, you get it on your ticket, that's your seat. Well, somebody comes over and points out to this guy that they're in the other person's seat, and this guy's having none of it. The reason I'm fascinated with this tape is because I want you to listen to and tell me the celebrity this most sounds like. We can wait till the end of the tape, and then you tell me who you think the celebrity is, all right? But when I heard this guy that's bitching in the seat and being a total douche nozzle, I suddenly stopped thinking about that and thinking about who the guy sounds like. So this is the ass that's in the theater.
I pay my money. I have a right
to sit in your seat, correct?
Yes, that's my seat.
That's not your seat.
How can you tell us not my seat?
Because your ticket has your seat number on it.
Whatever. Find and this will be the last time that I come to this imagined theater.
Sounds
all right?
Great.
I paid my money.
Great.
Does
please,
anybody
please
here
don't come
think
back.
It doesn't matter where you sit? It's not assigned seating.
It is.
Go sit in your own seat.
Thank you.
I'm not going to.
Then I'm going to ask you to leave.
You did, like four or five times. And that's why now we have a disturbance. I could sit right here.
Sir, we're not doing this anymore.
One seat off.
Are you going to listen?
All right, go ahead.
At this point, you are disrupting the show for these fine folks. We're going to ask you to leave. We'll get you a refund, though.
I don't know. I might want to be taken out in handcuffs now.
Sir.
I want more than just a refund.
Okay.
Can I get a drink?
We'll take care of you in the lobby.
Fine. And then I won't come back.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
And I'm going to make sure everybody knows about this.
Okay.
Goodbye, everyone. Enjoy your movie.
Any guesses on who it's... And now that I hear it and I'm playing it on the show, mm-hmm. I heard it over a different speaker, not as close as I thought. Any guesses?
Jim Amato.
That was better than I thought. I thought the guy sounded a little bit like Tom Arnold, you know, with that stuffed up nose that he's got, that Midwestern accent. But Jim Amato has a Midwestern accent also. All right, we don't have any time to discuss it. Our last sound today on Soundtown, really to clean the palate with all the war in Ukraine and everything happening and the punch around the world from the Oscars. Let's end with a cat that sings the blues. That's right. I'm playing a cat sound. That's how sad it's been. Ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure and to ease your mind today at the end of the Mike O'Mara Show, I give you a cat singing the blues. one right at the end there. That's it. That's all I
now
got.
Leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
Oh, that's it. We got to get out of here. Pony, thank you for last minute stepping in for old Oscar and running the board and being somebody I could talk to, because I like to talk to people when I'm working. That's the way it goes. Hopefully Oscar will be back with us tomorrow. And, you know, as Pony said, maybe Rob will drop in too. We don't know. But we will be back with a brand new show tomorrow. For Pony Boy Matt Bloom and yours truly, Mike O'Mara and Rob and Oscar, everybody's leaving. Did Dan O'Brien ever show up for work?
He walked by.
Oh, good. All right. Say hi for me. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.